If you were to ask residents of your city what their number one gripe was, many would say it's their city's traffic. Traffic congestion is one of the most common, yet challenging problems cities face. The issue is that while we know through experience the problem exists, there's a difficulty both quantifying the magnitude of congestion and visualizing where it occurs. Luckily for us, there's data out there that we can use if we know where to find it. And the best part of all, it's free. In this week's episode, I will discuss how to visualize your city's traffic congestion problem. I'm Alex Huffman, and this is City Planning Matters. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of City Planning Matters. Today, I'm really excited. I know I say that each episode, but truthfully, I'm really excited to talk about this specific topic. I talked about in last episode how one of the things that gets me really excited in city planning is having access to data. And a lot of episodes that we've covered so far have been really about planning and planning theory, but today is different. Today we're going to talk about planning application. And that's why I'm really excited, because it's not so much about the thoughts and the ideology behind different topics, but this is really all about how do we apply something that we can actually visualize and that we can actually do something with the results. And so what I want to do first before we jump into that is I want to do a recap of last episode, because last episode really set the stage for this specific exploration. This is applying a lot of the topics that were covered in last episode. And so just to remind everyone about some of the things that we talked about, we first started talking about data sources, and so we distinguished between what we call traditional and non-traditional data sources, where traditional data sources are the types that people have access to, even lay people. It doesn't require any type of data exploration. This is prepackaged data. This would be more of like your census data or data that your city provides, whereas non-traditional data sources would be data sources that were looking for, that we're getting from, you know, different websites. Maybe we're mining ourselves, or maybe it's data that's being repurposed into some type of planning application. We also talked about ways that we can visualize data, and some of those things we're talking about, for example, GIS, QGIS, Kepler, other type of online visualization tools. And then the last thing that we talked about was tools for acquiring data. And so this could be going to different websites. This could be using different web scraper or tools. This could be using Python, all that type of thing. And so today we're going to take a lot of those topics and tools that we covered in last episode and apply those to a specific project. And that is traffic congestion. And as I said in the intro, traffic congestion is one of those things that I think annoys everyone. You know, anytime that maybe if you're working at a city, you say, you know, somebody asks you, what do you do for a living? And then you say, well, I work at, you know, the city of whatever. And a lot of times people will say, oh, you know, I have something to tell you. And it's usually something either about, you know, traffic congestion, what is the city doing about such and such, or they're talking about a specific project, and a lot of times they're streets projects. And it's something that, because of the reality that most of our cities, at least in the US, are very auto-dominated, that traffic is at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. But the thing that's really interesting and challenging about traffic and traffic congestion is that traffic congestion is really hard to quantify. And as I talked about in the intro, you know, traffic congestion is hard to talk about. And because a lot of times the data is really hard to come by. We know it when we see it. We go on a specific route to work or to school, and we know which roadways are problematic because we sit in the traffic, we experience it. But how do you actually quantify that? How can you take something that you experience or that you observe on a daily basis, and then how do you make it so that way somebody can actually, you know, look at the physical data and say, yes, I agree with you, or, you know, yes, I agree that that's a problem, or see the magnitude of the problem. And that's been a real challenge, as I mentioned, just in general with planning and planning topics. And one of the things that I said in previous episodes is just that with the advent of data, we have the opportunity to really put a lot of these problems that we haven't been able to quantify in the past into the forefront, and to have actual conversations about them, but not just conversations. We actually can have solutions. And that's what's really exciting about being in the field of planning right now, again, because, you know, before we talked about problems and people were like, yeah, you know, planners always come up with the problems, but what are the solutions? And now we can get into some of these solutions because we have access to data, and the data can tell us the magnitude of the problem, but then also monitor change. And so what I want to talk about today is, how can you visualize your city's traffic congestion problem? And so to get started, what we want to look at first is, what types of data sources are available and where can we find them? And so one of the things just to keep in mind is that there's a lot of different data sources when we think about traffic and, you know, maneuvering a city just in general, right? And so some of the different sources that come to mind can be more of your GPS data. For example, you know, do you use Google Maps? Do you use MapQuest or Bing or some type of, you know, map-based service on your phone? Or maybe you use a traffic app just in general, right? So do you use, for example, Waze? Because Waze, the whole premise behind Waze is that they want to route you around traffic congestion. And the thing about this is that all of these different mapping services and GPS services really rely on having data inputs in order to route you, right? Because how frustrating would it be to get directions on your phone to a certain destination and the mapping service did not account for road construction or a road closure, or maybe there's a huge accident ahead? One of the things that I think, you know, for many people, they don't think about this is that that's one of the benefits of using these types of GPS map services, is that they know that these situations exist, that there's traffic congestion, that there's an accident, that there's a road closed ahead, and they reroute you and they do it seamlessly. And so that's a lot of times the reason why, you know, for a layperson, they don't think about these types of things, because again, it's not really something that's, you know, really displayed or, you know, brought up as a function of the app, but that's the whole purpose why you use the app. And so I'm saying all this because what we can do is there are ways to access the data from these types of different data sources. And so again, the three sources that I'm aware of that I know that are out there that are available to a lay person for free is accessing data from MapQuest and Bing. And then I'll get into it in a little bit, but especially if you're a city and you're interested, or you work for a city and you're interested in getting this information, Waze makes their data available as well. And so in order to get started, let's talk about the different data sources that are available for free. And we're going to go over this in terms of ease. And so the first data source that's available that I think if you're really interested in just getting started, you want to see how much data is available for your city, is to go to the website that I talked about last time, which was Kaggle. And so Kaggle, again, is a website that people publish data and data sets. And so there's one that's available that's called US Accidents. And so US Accidents is a data source or a data set that's national, and that's updated on a quarterly basis. And the guy who actually put it together, he is a data scientist that works at Lyft, and he's actually a really great guy. I actually was talking to him about his data set and asking some questions, and he was really helpful. And he's also an Ohio State grad. I have to give him a shout out because we were alumni from the same school. But anyways, you know, this data set is really great because, again, it's already assembled together. One of the challenges with this data set, though, and I will point out, is that because the scale of the data set is national, that the frequency of updating is not probably where you would want it to be in order to do a more in-depth analysis at a very specific city level. But it's a really great place to start, and you can get into what types of data is available. So that's the first data source that's available that we can use that type of information to be an input into visualizing your city's traffic problem. The second two data sources that I think are really important to cover is getting access to MapQuest and Bing data. And so again, the US accident data set uses this same data source, but doing what I'm about to describe will get you access to data on a daily basis. And so the thing to do if you're interested in using map data from Bing or from MapQuest is to register for an API. And so the API is going to give you what essentially amounts to a personal login that you'll use in order to query information off of their website, and it gives you results. And so, as I mentioned in the previous episode, one of the ways that we can actually get data off of websites is by using Python. And so one of the tools that you can use to do those types of queries to use Python is to use Jupyter Notebooks. And that was, again, the example that I used covering the work that Jeff Boeing does with OSMNX. Again, I encourage you to, you know, look at those different tutorials and the different notebooks that he has, because it's going to follow a lot of the same type of commands and queries using Jupyter Notebooks. But in order to get the data off of the website, you're going to need to use, and this is what I use, is Jupyter Notebooks to actually get the data from the website. And if you go to Bing or to MapQuest, they give you the commands that you're going to need to put in order to query the data out. I recognize that, you know, for those of you who are beginners, this may seem a little bit cumbersome or difficult. So I would really encourage you to again, use the US accident data, because again, it's going to be, you know, coming from the same source. But again, this is going to be for those of you who are a little bit more comfortable, allowing you to get some of that data on a more frequent basis. And so the data that you're going to be able to get from there is going to be looking at everything from different accidents or road closures to reports of traffic congestion, and it's going to give you the time and the day that the congestion's occurring. And so you can use both the US accident data set from Kaggle. You can also utilize the data set from Bing or from MapQuest that you're querying that information on a daily basis. Now, the last data source, and the data source that I use most frequently, and just because it's just really, really easy to get, assuming that you can register your city for the program, is using the data from Waze. And so Waze has a program that's called Waze for Cities. And if you Google Waze for Cities with Louisville, Louisville has been doing this for years. They have people who are dedicated to utilizing the data from Waze to talk about traffic and traffic congestion in their cities. But with Waze for Cities, what you can do is you can actually sign your city up. It's really easy to do. You essentially agree to utilize the data how they say. You draw a polygon around the area that you want to capture data for. And then what they make available is data that gets put into these different tools that they have, visualization tools or just the raw data itself, into a dashboard that you can download. And one of the things that's really exciting and interesting about the Waze data is that, again, when we talked about non-traditional sources, it's a little bit different because this is utilizing information that people in your city are inputting, right? So Waze utilizes crowdsourced data. And so this is where people are actually taking the time to say, there's traffic congestion here, or there's an accident. And it's really interesting because especially if you have a lot of people utilizing Waze in your city, it gives you a really accurate picture of where the real congestion points are and the streets in your city where people are probably going to come up to you and complain about. Because again, they're utilizing this information or this tool in order to actually say, this is where we're seeing traffic congestion. And as is the case with both Bing and MapQuest, the data that you're getting here is going to be reporting, again, everything from road closures, accidents, construction, but also the traffic jam, how bad the traffic jam is, and it even gets into information like, how long are people being delayed? How long is the traffic jam in terms of like distance? And so this is something that, you know, if you combine all these different data sets into one, you can imagine that you're going to have thousands and thousands of data points to actually get into the data exploration portion that we're going to cover here coming up after the break. But the great thing is that, you know, again, when you have all these different data sources and make sure that you're getting, you know, a very accurate picture because you're not relying on a single source. And so this is allowing you to utilize crowdsource information. This is allowing you to use information that's reported to these different mapping services, and you can combine it again into thousands of records. I know that when I did this for the city that I live in, you know, we're talking about tens of thousands of records, and we're getting all these little individual data points. And again, it's really going to be helpful for the data exploration and visualization portion of this exercise. So before the break, we talked about the different types of data sources that are available. Let's assume that you've gone through the process of actually collecting the data, either by utilizing the data set off of Kaggle that's updated on a quarterly basis, or you've registered for an API with Bing and MapQuest and you're getting that data on a more frequent basis, or last but certainly not least, is that you've registered your city for the Waze program, Waze for Cities. What are the different types of use cases that are available? Because that's, I think, the thing that's always really important before you get into data exploration is to think about what types of things can I apply this data to? Because you can sometimes get really lost in data, especially when you have lots and lots of data points. It's really important to think about, okay, how can I utilize this information and what story can I tell with it? And so this is by no means an exhaustive list, but this is just different applications that I found utilizing these data sources. So as I mentioned, there's different types of data that's reported to each of these different sources. So as an example, we can look at plotting all the locations of traffic accidents. And so what can that tell us? So that information can tell us, for example, where the most dangerous roadways are in your city. And maybe in a use application, this could be locations of where maybe you need to do traffic calming, or maybe you need to look at doing traffic light synchronizing and signalization to make sure that you know, there's a better flow of traffic. Tied into that is traffic congestion, obviously, right? So we can look at plotting just the locations of where congestion occurs. And so this can give us insights into what are your most congested roadways. But then outside of just these really broad use applications, we can get into very, very detailed information, again, because of the data sources that a lot of these things are timestamped. And so the exciting thing that you can do with that is that you can look at you know, doing a heat map, for example, of all the roadway accidents. You can look at doing a heat map again of the locations of traffic congestion. You can also get into day of week. One of the things that was really interesting that I found is that, you know, traffic accidents are actually most common in El Paso on Wednesdays. And that's looking at data over the last 3 years. And so it's not just an anomaly. It's definitely a trend and, you know, something that's really interesting to consider, like why a Wednesday? You can also see, for example, days of week, you know, what day of week do you have, the most, traffic congestion? You know, a lot of people assume it's Friday. Maybe in your city, it's not the case. You can look at weekend versus weekday. or, you know, a very applicable, you know, application for right now is to look at your traffic congestion pre and post COVID. So one of the things that I observed again when I was looking at the Waze for Cities data was that you could see most certainly a huge drop off in the number of reported accidents and traffic congestion as a result of people staying at home more. And I'm sure it's the case in your city. That's something that we're seeing across the US. But again, it's really helpful to know the magnitude. We can also see the differences between time of day, so like AM, PM, or we can look at AM, PM peak. So when is traffic congestion the most frequent in your city? One of the things that I saw again that was really interesting for our city is that we don't see a lot of reports of traffic congestion in the mornings. Most of our traffic congestion issues are at the PM peak hours. And so again, because you can actually get into the raw data, you know, you can utilize Excel, for example, and do a pivot chart and start really getting into the data, you can start making a lot of these you know, analyses and interpretations of the raw data. And so, you know, we can also do different exercises with mapping. One of the things that I think is really important to show is, especially with traffic congestion, is making sure that maybe you show through using the z-axis, you can show the frequency of how frequent a particular intersection is the report of traffic congestion, right? So if you have thousands and thousands of data points, there can be overplotting that occurs where essentially the dots just overlap on top of each other. And you can sometimes lose the fact that a particular intersection or street has a lot of reports of congestion. So really utilizing the z-axis to show, you know, the intensity of how bad the traffic congestion is or how frequent a traffic accident occurs. And then one of the other things that, you know, is not so important here in El Paso, where we have over 300 days of sun a year, but maybe is important in your city, is how weather plays into all of this. So you can actually get from the Kaggle data set the weather for the day of when the accident or the congestion occurred. And so, you know, this is just an overview of how you can utilize data to visualize your city's traffic congestion problem. But one of the things I talked about at the top, and I don't want it to be lost in this conversation, again, is what can be done in terms of application and implementation. Because again, we don't want to be put in this place where, as planners, we're just pointing out problems. I think people know if there's a traffic congestion problem in your city, right? But like, what can you do that you actually apply this data that brings about meaningful change or observable change? And then how do you monitor that impact? And that's one of the best things about these tools, is because, you know, one of the hard conversations that we have a lot of times with constituents or with people about some of the best practices in planning is that we want to get people on board to do an intervention, but sometimes the intervention is highly unpopular, or people think, you know, is not going to achieve what you want it to. So just as an example, right, say that you're seeing a lot of traffic congestion on a particular street. What would happen if you actually took a lane away from cars and gave it to pedestrians and to cyclists, or, you know, other people utilizing micro-mobility, so like scooters and those types of things? People would probably lose their minds and be really upset and say, you know, this is only going to make the traffic congestion worse. But one of the great things is, again, utilizing these tools, is that we can actually monitor and observe outcomes and change. And so let's say you do that, and maybe, you know, the number of people making a trip doesn't change. And so you have the same number of people, but there's less reports of traffic congestion because people are using other modes of travel to get to their destination. Well, now that becomes a really meaningful data point that you can use at a community meeting and say, look, we observed the change both pre and post doing this type of intervention. Maybe we're doing traffic calming, right? Maybe we're not taking away a lane, but we're doing just a much more basic traffic calming. And so maybe there's less traffic accidents. And this becomes really important because, again, we're not just talking about things in terms of theory, but we're actually taking it into practice, and we can measure the outcomes and see, is this intervention effective? Is it doing what it needs to be doing? And if the answer to those questions are yes, then it really can help to bring people on board and you know, have a consensus in terms of these are interventions that actually work because we have data that can show that. And again, that's one of the best things as planners we can have that we have access to that we previously did not have access to. And so, you know, I think that this is a really exciting conversation about how we utilize different data tools and having this be a very specific application, which looked specifically at traffic congestion. I'm really excited for people to try it out. You know, if you have any questions about getting the data or where to find the different resources, by all means, reach out to me. You know, you can either send me a message on this app. Anchor has a really great tool that allows people to leave messages or reach out to me. Look me up on LinkedIn, send me a message. I'd really like to see your data visualizations because, again, I found it a very, you know, meaningful and useful tool that could help to show, you know, where our traffic congestion problem is in our city. And hopefully you find it a really great tool for you and your city as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you and am really excited to continuing this conversation. So thank you again for listening today. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I did, and I'm really excited to hear from you. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you're enjoying the content, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen and rate the podcast so we can continue to improve the content of each episode for our listeners. I'm Alex Huffman, and this is Planning Matters.